You may be seated. Thank you. The second case set for argument this morning is Preserve French Creek versus County of Custer et al. Stephen Beardsley is appearing and will be arguing on behalf of Preserve French Creek, the appellant. And Jacob Stewart is present, will be arguing on behalf of the appellees. Stacey Heggie is also present. I understand you won't be arguing, correct? All right. So each side will have 15 minutes for your initial argument, and then Mr. Beardsley, you'll have a five-minute rebuttal. You can proceed.
May I please support counsel?
First, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity because as you get older, you realize how precious it is to have the opportunity to present before this court. This is an interesting case because it's kind of a ruse, and the ruse is this, and I'll get into the specifics, but the ruse is this. Preserve French Creek got notified that they're going to dump wastewater into French Creek after the fact. Then they go to the state's attorney, and they say, what should we do? What can we do? They said, well, you can have a petition to have a nuisance voted on, but there's one condition. I have to draft the ordinance, I being the state's attorney. So the state's attorney turns around, drafts the ordinance that gets voted on, and then now stands back and goes, I'm not going to enforce the ordinance I drafted. What happened here, there were four steps. I'm going to tell the story. The steps were, after they decided to dump into French Creek, because they did not get actual notice, and I'm going to get into that because I don't think there was reasonable precautions before that occurred because they violated the administrative rule that says there has to be actual notice. They didn't give them actual notice. So what happened was they go and they have this petition certified, but the petition then had to have so many signatures. They got the signatures. After they got the signatures, then the state's attorney said, I'll draft the ordinance. Beardsley, you can't draft the ordinance. I'm going to draft it. Now, did I particularly like how the language was put together? No, but it was fine. So then it's voted on. The people of Custer County said it's a nuisance to put wastewater into French Creek. Now, mind you, since 1972, they've been putting it in Flynn Creek. Now they're going to switch to French Creek. And I'll get into it, but there were four options. Flynn Creek, French Creek, Beaver Creek 1 and Beaver Creek 2. The city and the developer chose French Creek. Okay? So now it's voted on. People of Custer County say, do not put it in French Creek because it's a nuisance if you do it. So after that, the vote is canvassed and certified by the county commission. They were great. Now, though, after they go through these four steps, petition, vote, canvas, certification, the state's attorney is going, I'm not going to enforce it. Just not going to do anything. So then we brought a writ of mandamus. And that was denied. And we're here regarding that denial. Now, after the fact, after they've gone through all this process, after they've listened to the state's attorney and listened to the county commission, then they say, well, that ordinance is contrary to state law. Well, so we said, what state law? What state statute? What state law and what state statute says the location of the wastewater treatment dump has got to be French Creek? Of course, there isn't any. But then the court and the appellees contend, well, there's a statute that says you can have wastewater treatment plants, and that we're all against wastewater treatment plants or permits. No, we're not. Well, that's the farthest thing from us. What we want is to enforce the ordinance that said it's a nuisance to put it in French Creek.
What about the statute that says that the Secretary of the DANR gets to issue exactly the kind of permits that they issued in this case, or that the Secretary issued in this case? That seems like a statute.
There's a statute that allows for getting permits. I agree with that, okay? But the location is not part of the statute. The location was done by the city of Custer and the developer. They're the ones that picked French Creek, not this agency. So the DANR did not pick the location. The city and the developer picked a location, and that's what we objected to, and that's what the ordinance is about, and that's what the county voted on. Not just preserve French Creek, but the entire county. So the opportunity, and I want to talk about, you have to take reasonable precautions, and I'm going to go to the Greer case. But the opportunity to complain at whenever they're going to issue the permit was not given to these people because they published it in the Custer Chronicle. That goes out to about 12 people. Now, that's a slight exaggeration. It's more than that, but it's not actual notice. 7452.05.13 says you have to have actual notice. The permit itself says you have to follow the administrative rules of actual notice.
So I understand your argument about notice, but isn't that argument really, shouldn't that be made up with the DANR rather than through this ordinance process and even this proceeding we're involved in? Because if there was improper notice, that's where the argument needs to be made. Otherwise, aren't you really just saying, oh, well, that order wasn't properly entered by the DANR, and you should set that aside? But don't you have to go back to the DANR to do that?
I don't believe so.
Why not?
And I'm not placating you. It's a good question. And it leads you right into the Greer case. Okay? The Greer case was decided in 1961. Sam Mastin actually was the attorney. I'm old enough to remember Sam Mastin. In any event, what Greer said is that you can't just willy-nilly do whatever you want, whether it's the DANR or it's the city of, I can't remember which city it was now, but you have to take reasonable precautions. And the reasonable precautions in that case, they put a dump right next to a person's house, property. The dump then had rats and odor and all sorts of noxious fumes and whatnot. So Sam Mastin brings his case and says, well, it constitutes a nuisance. They argued the state has authority to put dumps in. The state statute's been around forever to have dumps. But they said, the Supreme Court said, no, you have to take reasonable precautions. And you can't just stick it next to somebody's property without taking reasonable precautions. In this case,
but that was a little reasonable. That was a little different case. There wasn't an administrative proceeding that had issued a permit in that case, was there?
No, but what it says is that you have to take reasonable precautions before you pick a location, before you do it. And the reasonable precautions here, we're saying you need to have actual notice so people can show up for the hearing, and they didn't do that. So what the county did is send us down this path of passing an ordinance, which we said it was a nuisance. So it's my point, two points. One is it's not contrary to a state law. The state law that says you can have wastewater permits or wastewater plants, there's no objection to that. The objection is they didn't take reasonable precautions before they chose, the city and developer chose French Creek because there's four options. Flint Creek, French Creek, Beaver Creek 1 and 2. Instead, they chose French Creek but did not take reasonable precautions to notify the people so they could provide an objection. Then they send us down this path of drafting a nuisance and having it voted on, and the people of Custer County said, we don't want it in French Creek because it's a nuisance. Then they come back and say that this statute, this nuisance, I got my glasses here, it says, the statute says, SDCL 21102 says, nothing which is done under the express authority of a statute can be deemed a nuisance. There is no statute that says an express authority that says a location like French Creek. Same thing as Greer. In Greer, even though you have statutory authority to have dumps, same thing, statutory authority to have wastewater treatment plants and locations, you have to do reasonable accommodations to inform people, and you need to follow that. So when they come and say it's contrary to a state statute, the location of French Creek is not. And I want to address a case that is cited by the other side. And that's the Narsic case, and I'm sure I'm butchering the
pronunciation, and I apologize for that. But the Narsik versus Brandt Sanitary. And Justice Kern is nodding because she wrote the opinion. But the opinion says, one, it was an eminent domain case. There's anything like this. Then there was this seeking a declaration of a nuisance. What happened in that case is the plaintiff didn't prove the case. And what Justice Kern said in her opinion is it found no evidence causing any fecal contamination, and therefore they didn't prove their case. They're citing it to say that. In our case, it's been determined it's a nuisance. The people of Custer County voted and said it's a nuisance. It isn't a question of fact. That was a question of fact. They're relying on a case that really is apples and oranges. It is not similar to our case at all, and they're trying to say, well, in that case, they couldn't find a nuisance. Well, the court determined, the Supreme Court, that, well, you didn't prove your case. Here, it's already established. So it's our position that the writ of mandamus should be enforced, number one. Number two, we believe that there's a good argument for estoppel in this case, because the state's attorney herself, who's now sitting back with her arms crossed going, I'm not going to do anything, is the one that drafted the nuisance. So the ordinance. So the person that drafted the ordinance got it voted on, now is saying, well, I drafted an ordinance that's contrary to state law. Now, I don't know, but why would you do that? Why would you set these people up to spend all this time, all this energy, all this money to have a vote and to have the people speak? And then when it's all over, we go, okay, never mind, I don't care what they do. There's the city of Parker, it's Evan versus the city of Parker's a case we cited. And Evan versus the city of Parker, a gentleman got a building permit, went out and bought $4,000 worth of supplies, wood, whatever, to build a garage. After he got through buying that, the city of Parker came back and said, oh, never mind, we're going to withdraw it. Supreme Court said, no, can't do that. You can't set people up with reasonable reliance. There's no question of there was reasonable reliance here on what the county commission, now I think the county commission would support us, but the state's attorney's not doing it. So we're coming for a writ of mandamus. I want to tell one quick story.
Before you do that,
yeah,
let me ask you about the estoppel theory. I understand the theory. Mm-hmm. Can you enforce estoppel? Can you use a writ of mandamus as a remedy for the estoppel? And how would you do that?
Yes. That leads right into my story.
Okay.
There's no unfettered authority anywhere. Maybe here, but still, there's always some authority, okay? What happened in this story was I'm in Pennington County, and I went to the county commission, and I said, would you please decide this case? They said, no, not going to decide it. I went a second time, asked them again. They said, no, we're not going to decide. What are you going to do, Beardsley? I said, well, I'm going to appeal it with a writ of mandamus that you're not making a decision to the circuit court. So I did that, and she asked me, this judge, what is it you want? And I said, I don't care. I want a decision. She gave me a writ of mandamus. I went back down to the county commission. You know what they said to me? They said, we don't want to rule anyway. He said, what are you going to do then? I said, I'm going to go get a contempt order for each and every one of you that won't vote. Then they voted against me. I appealed it. But I had that opportunity. The reason I bring that up is the writ of mandamus can compel people to do what they're supposed to do. Well, in this case, we have an ordinance that was passed. Hold your thoughts. We have an ordinance that was passed duly by the people of the county, not the commission. The people voted on it, and they're refusing to do it. Yes.
So mandamus compels a duty that they're required to perform. I think the chief's question is aimed at the idea, how do you turn the duty? She doesn't have the city attorney doesn't have a duty to disregard the law. She has a duty to follow the law. How do you get from you're stopped from performing your duty, turning that into a responsibility to ignore the law.
I understand your question. I think they're a stop from making the argument they're making because they've led these people down a primrose path. I think the writ of mandamus does allow for an order that says you must do what's in front of you. And what's in front of you is this ordinance that said it's a nuisance to put it in French Creek. And so that's why we brought this writ of mandamus action, and that's what we're asking to do. And I hope I explained that. And I'm about out of time, but I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope I get the next 5 minutes to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stewart, you can proceed with your argument.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, counsel. I'm James Stewart. I represent the appellees on this matter. We're here today simply because through initiative ordinance, there was a ordinance passed that declared discharge into French Creek a nuisance per se as a matter of law. And that simply is conflicting with state law. First, there's a state-issued permit on point authorizing the discharge by the city into the French Creek. In fact, the permit even specifies the location of the discharge point upon the completion of the facility upgrades.
I want to stop you there just a minute. There was some discussion in the initial argument about back and forth between state's attorneys and the Preserve French Creek people. We don't have a transcript of the hearing from the in front of Judge Wickery. Are we right? Am I right about that?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And was there any testimony at that hearing?
No, Your Honor.
So we have the record that we have in front of us without the transcript.
Correct, Your Honor. And as far as my recollection serves, I don't remember that being a part of that proceeding, and so it was never properly raised before the lower court.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. And not only is it in conflict with the state issued permit, but it's also in direct conflict with this 21102 statute in place. And so I think it's relevant to discuss some of the pertinent facts as it pertains to the mandamus proceeding itself. In 2021, this permit was issued by the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources. The permit itself authorized a discharge into French Creek. It was noticed back in December 2020, and it was notably never commented on, and it wasn't no contested case hearing was initiated, and ultimately there was no appeal of the final agency decision.
And, of course, their argument is we didn't get notice. How could we comment on it?
And that, correct, Your Honor, but that issue was never properly raised below. If you look in their lower court's briefs, they explicitly said they weren't raising that issue, and there was never any discussion or argument as to it at the lower court. As to the actual notice argument and that they've been briefing. And so the lack of that being present precludes their argument here at this point in time. It just wasn't developed below, and it's not proper to be raised in the first time on appeal. But later, 2 years later down the road, is when this they began circulating a petition for this initiated ordinance. And they ultimately got enough signatures to place it on the ballot, which, if you look at the 718A statutory scheme under 13 and 14, that particular statutory scheme requires that the county auditor give it to the Board of County Commissioners, and the Board of County Commissioners, without any discretion, has to enact and place it on the board for ballot for a vote of the voters.
So did the state's attorney draft it and then refuse to enforce it, as Mr. Beardsley asserts?
I'm unaware of that, Your Honor. I don't know if she drafted it. I presume she did. I know that at the state level, most those type of things are drafted by the AG's office.
Does it make a difference?
I don't think it makes a difference one way or the other.
Could the state's attorney have said, no, you can't do what you want to do? You can't avail yourself of the initiated process because I think the object of it is illegal.
Well, I think that takes us back to kind of the Barnett case that this court ruled, is that even if you can kind of front-load these issues, you're not precluded from arguing estoppel on the back end, or at least arguing that they're unenforceable on the back end. I mean, obviously that one is distinguishable in many ways, but it's really the only case that we have to rely on. I believe that that's a similar here, is that we have to still be able to adhere to the state law. Counties and cities are not endowed with inherent authority, and they don't have this magical ability to usurp state law just because something is later enacted that ends up being conflicting directly with the state statutes. So I think that precludes that argument on that front. Moving on, though, I mean, it was ultimately canvassed and voted on. I mean, it was voted on, then canvassed, and then enacted upon that canvassing, as found in 718.14, which is all ministerial duties by the Board of County Commissioners. They have no discretion at that point. And as I believe Chief Justice pointed out, is there is this mandamus is not proper in this situation when there's no settled a duty to act by the county. They have a duty to enforce the law, and when you have a permit that's directly on point and a state statute that's directly on point, we have to adhere and try to do the best we can. And in this situation, there's a direct conflict between there.
Opposing counsel is suggesting that there needs to be authority that is state authority, statutory authority, that is so expressed that would include something like a location. Are you aware of cases where it's been interpreted in that manner?
No, Your Honor. I think every case in which it was relied on trying to narrow that interpretation talks about express authority, or that may be reasonably implied. I think the Barnes case is what they relied on from a Montana jurisdiction. But ultimately, what we have there is that you have an express delegation that the agency has this authority to issue permits. And through that delegation, it's kind of like a good example would be like a public utility commission. These are complex issues, so it's be unrealistic to have the legislature really dictate the locations and the parameters whenever you have such an ad hoc decision-making process from the state agency on that.
That really goes to the third basis for preemption under our law, which is, that the state occupies the field in this in terms of discharging wastewater into a creek or into any surface water. You've got statutes that talk about you got to go through the DNAR to do that. Is that argument in here, or have you made that argument? In addition to, you've got the specific nuisance statute that says it's not a nuisance if the state has authorized it.
Thank you for bringing that up. We did not argue that because we didn't think that drastic of a leap was necessary in this particular case with the direct conflict in place. We do agree that that is the situation where field preemption should occur in these whenever a state issued permit. That was clearly delegated the authority from the legislature to the administrative agency to issue. We just didn't make that argument in here because there's just quite simply a statute on point saying we can't deem these things nuisances. And the mode in which they're using in the ordinance is a nuisance claim itself. And I should point out that they're not without remedy in this situation. I mean, they had their opportunity for comments and appeal during the following the administrative proceeding processes. But not only that, but if the permit, if the discharge becomes outside the realm of that permit authorization, then the Greer case would be applicable. They become an unlawful conduct, which would permit some kind of action under that situation. But you'd have to first find an individual harm, a substantial individual harm, for that to occur.
But by then, you've got the infrastructure in place.
And I understand. I understand that, but also that's a double-edged sword. We have a permit, which is the city relied on to begin the infrastructure, and they're well on the way of building that infrastructure. So that's kind of a double-edged sword, yeah. But they can say that the infrastructure is already in place, this is a nuisance, but they also relied on this permit to move forward with the infrastructure going that way, and it was nothing the city or the county did to put themselves in that situation. They just relied on DANR.
And that's where I'm glad you brought up the remedy question, because what is the remedy for the aggrieved citizen? You know, they draft an ordinance, declare it a nuisance. your argument is unenforceable, violates a valid state law, writs out.
Yep.
And so then the infrastructure is in place, and your only remedy is to wait and see if something goes wrong or outside the scope of the permit. I mean, there's no way to step back or seek any form of relief.
I believe that that's the case, Your Honor. I mean, these permits are five-year terms, and they have to come up for renewal. And I understand the complications there, but at the same time, that's what we have in place by the legislature. And we also have I think it's 34A275, which is the enforcement mechanism of the water discharge statutory scheme, in which they can bring if the discharge exceeds any of that permitted parameters.
In terms of how things unfolded here, surely you can understand how unsatisfying that is for people who thought that they were pursuing a course of action within the law that would allow them to, you know, take some action and participate in these decisions. It seems really unsatisfying.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I think the issue needs to be I agree, it's unsatisfying for those private citizens.
I'm not saying that, you know, we're not the legislature, we're a court, and I understand that, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but surely you can understand that at least.
Yeah, absolutely. We understand that. We're in a similar position. It's not as our stance of the appellees in this situation. It really is not our conduct that placed us in this situation, is how we feel. I obviously am unaware of the city attorney portion of that, but as it pertains to having a direct ordinance and a direct statute in conflict, there's not a whole lot the city lacking inherent authority or the county lacking inherent authority can really do in that situation. That's an issue that needs to be taken up with the legislature and corrected in that manner, and not, frankly, not in a court of law as of right now. And then if I have, I only have a few moments, I think it's necessary to also address this estoppel argument. I just don't believe estoppel can simply be applicable in this case. First, the Board of County Commissioners are not judicial bodies. They're not going to be able to know whether something's preempted whenever it gets submitted to them. So saying that they need to do something at the onset is a really hard stance to take there. And not only that, but the county commissioners did exactly what 718A permits. They got a petition submitted to the board of to the auditor, who then placed it in front of the Board of County Commission, who in turn placed it to the vote of the voters and then canvassed the votes. All of that is ministerial duties to act under the statute, and they kind of don't have other options there. I mean, this court, I believe it was Heaney Farm, said that same conduct was ministerial. So there's no discretion. And we look at the definition under of this shall under the statutory scheme, and it leaves no discretion for their conduct directed under the statute. And so we shouldn't be penalizing a Board of County Commissioners by enforcing this estoppel claim by them adhering to the statutory frameworks that the legislature has set forth. We also think that the Evan v. City of Parker, I think it's in the Evan v. City of Parker case, where it says estoppel, and this is not a direct quote, but it basically says something along the lines that estoppel against the public is disfavored, and it should only be done upon a showing of manifest injustice. And I just don't know if that necessarily resulted in this situation, although we understand the dissatisfaction of the members of the community. But that's a nature that needs to be taken up with the legislature, not necessarily up by a court, because of the nature of how this went out.
Well, it almost sounds like maybe that Mr. Beardsley is talking about applying judicial estoppel, that you shouldn't be able to make this argument because of the actions that you took. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes,
I don't know if it applies here, but that seems to be the argument.
And I don't know if it applies either. I don't believe it does. I think at the end of the day, all of this needs to be recourse in front of the legislature, not in front of this court here today. I think the lower court properly determined that there's a direct conflict between 2110-2 and this permit, and as it relates to the county ordinance itself. And since there's no clear legal duty to act on the side of the city or the county, I don't think mandamus relief is proper due to this potent and precise nature. So we ask that you affirm the lower court's ruling, and that because the issuance of the permit was done or maintained under the express authority of statute, it cannot now be deemed a nuisance. And that's all I have, unless you have any further questions, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Beardsley, you can proceed with rebuttal.
Thank you. May it please the court.
The first thing I'd like to ask you is whether or not the information regarding the state's attorney is in the record.
About the state's attorney drafting the ordinance?
Is that in the record?
You know, Judge, I can't tell you. The reason I can't tell you is that we presented oral argument. It's a legal question. And the process does say the state's attorney is supposed to draft the ordinance, as this gentleman indicated. So I happen to know it. I understand we need a record. But we also know that's the process, that the state's attorney does it, because the state's attorney can't just turn it over to some citizen like me to go, I'll just draft whatever I want. And the reason that it's that way, Judge, is so later you don't have this. Because later they can't just say, well, it's just the wrong kind of ordinance and it can't be enforced.
I have a question about that. I keep thinking that we still get back to the same place, the same question. So the city and the county are different entities, correct?
Yes.
So we find there's some sort of estoppel here, and then we direct the state's attorney to enforce this ordinance that was passed, would not the city then be able to come and make a claim that that's an improper enforcement of an ordinance because we have statutory authority through the permit from the department to do what we're doing? And then we're still back here addressing the same question of is there a conflict? How do we not get there anyway?
I understand your question, and I don't think so. Here's why. It'd be one thing if we're putting it in a pond just in the city. They're putting it in a French Creek that goes right in throughout the entire county. So if the county says you can't do that because we have an ordinance that you can't do that, then the city better think twice about let's start right here in the city and go right to the county. So the city now has a decision to make based on the county state's attorney that is saying, no, we have an ordinance that we're supposed to follow. And when council says, and I hope I'm answering your question, when council says, well, let's leave it up to the legislature, there is no possible way that the legislature is going to say, we're now going to make it part of the statute, the location of where wastewater should go. No. What the legislature did, though, was they said, you got to give actual notice. And they had a regulatory scheme, and that's why we have 74-52-513 that says you need to have actual notice.
Mr. Beardsley, I've got a factual question, and it took me a while to find the permit, but you had mentioned it in your brief, and you mentioned it in your opening remarks as well, that the city and the developer had all these options, and so on that topic, actually, that you were just talking about, this isn't really the state that designated, even through the DNR. This isn't really the state. This was a decision more locally by the city and a developer, perhaps. Factually, I don't know where that is, and I'd like to know if you have a spot in the record. And then, secondly, I was able to locate the permit finally. It took me a while, and it says. So your ordinance is June 2023. This is the January 2021 permit. It says, upon completion of the city's wastewater treatment facility upgrades, there shall be no discharge to Flynn Creek. At that time, the city will be authorized under this permit to discharge to French Creek. It seems like that's the point. That's the discharge point. And I'm wondering if I'm missing something factually in the record when you say, no, there was these other options and they just selected this. They didn't have to.
Yeah, it's part of the E file. And it says that there were four options. And it says that the city and developer, and they're not disputing. In their brief, they said they're not disputing the city and the developer are the ones that chose this, not the state.
And maybe that was before, but ultimately what happened, it looks like, unless I'm wrong, ultimately what happened factually is there was a permit that was issued that said you're authorized to discharge into French Creek. It doesn't give them options under the permit.
There was a permit that said French Creek. That's after the city looked at the four options and switched from Flynn, who had been there since 1972, and they decided to go to French Creek because the city and developer said that. I'm going to be very quick. I got 8 seconds. The important thing here is that we need to follow the regulations that say notice is proper.
Is it preserved? Is it preserved? They argue that it wasn't raised below.
No, but it's a de novo question, and it was raised below in the entire deal, and they're not disputing that it was raised below, Judge. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. The case is now fully submitted. We'll be in recess.